Conventional wisdom is that cryptocurrency is a speculative, gambling investment, while on the other hand, the US dollar is considered stable, reliable, and should be used for your everyday purchases as well as savings. But what if conventional wisdom is wrong? Hi, I'm Shadow Rebel, and in this episode of Simplify Privacy, we're going to break down why you should be potentially speculating and gambling on the risky US dollar's fall, while on the other hand, reliable and stable Monero could be used for everyday purchases and long-term savings. All right, so the catalyst for this trade is Donald Trump's tariffs. So let's get a better understanding of Donald Trump's tariffs, first from a philosophical standpoint, and then into a more practical standpoint. We cannot discuss economics unless we at least touch upon that the entire structure of our society is crazy corrupt, where money is debt, as we covered in the last episode. And a huge part of the stock market run-up and the fact that the middle class has not really benefited is because this newly created money goes into stocks and real estate and doesn't actually come down and help the middle class. And so all this animosity people are trying to funnel towards China really should be funneled towards the central bank. The reason that manufacturing has left the United States is the cost of doing stuff has risen. Why do you think that is? Well, one input in a manufacturing facility is the real estate, which the Federal Reserve drives to the moon. Then you have all these regulations that make it really hard to manufacture in the United States has, so there's no reason to. Also, the average person has a higher skill set, and so as a society, they've graduated above the level of doing this sweatshop stuff. If somebody else is going to do the sweatshop stuff, that is benefiting you to have a higher standard of living because you're buying the stuff cheaper. So I'm responsible for my purchases. You're responsible for your purchases. This idea of like, oh, well, me and you aggregated is more or less than what that dude and that other guy, what they're at. It's nonsense. The only person who might even be looking at this is somebody who's gambling on foreign currency markets. But this is not something that we should be voting on. You see, morality is objective. So the purpose of morality is to govern the behaviors between us and so we can have some kind of society. But if we just say that that's subjective, then I can just stab you and go, oh, well, to me, it felt right. So you have to have objective rules. And so this is the foundation for objectivism, which is a philosophical branch of libertarianism, in which no one is aggressing on each other. So we're not stabbing each other, we're not stealing each other. But if somebody wants to do something to themselves that they think for whatever reason is correct, who are we to say what they should do to themselves? And that leads to my next point, which is that economic value is subjective. So how could I tell you what you should pay for a Taylor Swift CD? We each value that differently. So I personally, I don't like her music, but maybe you do. Maybe the reverse is true. You think that a CD of Shadow Rebel podcast is worth nothing, but I say it's worth more than Taylor Swift. So how should we decide this? Through the free market. So we bid on things, and this way, those who want to pay more, they get it. How can you say that mob voting with violence is a better system? If 51% of people vote that Taylor Swift has better music than Shadow Rebel, are you gonna force people at gunpoint to listen to Taylor Swift? It's nonsense. Clearly, the free market should decide. Okay, well now, let's say I move to China. Now, Taylor Swift America is selling less than Shadow Rebel Chinese. Now, is it okay that we're forcing people at gunpoint to listen to Taylor Swift? This is even lamer than her music during the Super Bowl. So for the government to command economics would be to have an objective system being forced down when it is a subjective ruling. In other words, the very purpose of the government is to objectively prevent us from hurting each other. But it doesn't make sense for the subjective views of some people to be forced onto others. Now that even the entire idea of the government doing economic laws is ridiculous, now we're toppling on top of that even more ridiculous, absurd propaganda by talking about the trade deficit. When I'm an individual, you're an individual, this whole idea of grouping our purchases together and then comparing it to what another individual in China and a different fourth dude in China are doing, what does it even matter? We're all each making decisions for ourselves. And this whole idea of a trade deficit, if I go and buy pizza from Pizza Hut, I have a trade deficit with Pizza Hut. That doesn't mean that Pizza Hut ripped me off. It means that I bought stuff. If I didn't want the stuff, I shouldn't be buying it. I don't need the government to objectively rule down on my subjective decisions. And this whole idea of grouping together these individuals, and then somehow we're going to use violence of the government to do taxes on incoming goods, is collectivism. What it is it's saying that you, as an individual, you should pay more money for the good of whatever society, for these other people within your country, that you should pay more, you should suffer for the good of the collective unit. And you know who else is doing collectivism? Mao Zedong in China. So communist China, the very thing that the Trumpites are concerned about, is collectivism, where Mao Zedong had people sacrifice their individual needs for not getting overseas stuff. And Mao Zedong did this like China first thing where everything they tried to produce was within China, and it led to famines and starvation and horrible stuff. So secretly, Donald Trump is pushing the Mao Zedong Chinese collectivism. How do you not see that? And so the question then becomes, what should you actually do about this? So this goes right into my worldview, which is that countries are an abstract concept and patriotism is bad, collectivism is bad, you shouldn't want to be sacrificing your individual good for the community. Instead, you should be using cryptocurrency that transcends physical locations, transcends borders, and focus on your own business where you're earning revenue streams from abroad, from all these different places. And so in a business sense, you want to look global. Then in an asset sense, you want to look global as well. So the US dollar is in for some declines. Think about it. Let's take the Japanese yen, for example. So if a trade deal is reached with Japan between Trump and the prime minister, then they will want to have the dollar fall against the Japanese yen so that this way they can try and pump it in some artificial way to sell the Japanese a bunch of nonsense. Having a weaker currency allows a country to export more goods since those goods are now cheaper to foreigners. However, this is at the expense of screwing over the importers, so I personally am not advocating for this policy, but I'm saying that's what politicians want to do. So instead of getting screwed and allowing them to rip the food out of your mouth and degrade the currency that you use, instead, I'm advocating you buy these foreign currencies. So if there's a deal, then the dollar will go down. But if there's not a deal, the US economy is going to suffer and the dollar will also come down as there's capital flight out of the US by the Japanese and these other entities, the Europeans, the Chinese. So it's a lose-lose for the dollar. If there's trade deals, dollar goes down. If there's not trade deals, dollar goes down. And not only is this reflected in basic logic, but it's also reflected in these unemployment numbers. So in the United States, unemployment is rising, while as in Japan, it is falling. In most of the European Union, especially the periphery countries, it's falling. So in the United States, unemployment is starting to tick up and rise consistently, while as in, let's say, the European Union, it is collapsing, and in Japan, it is collapsing as well. So clearly, there is less stimulus needed for these other countries, while as the United States is much more likely to juice the market to prevent it from falling and to prevent mass unemployment. And this can also be seen within the countries within the EU. So let's just take a step back for a second and look at how the European Union works. So you have these different countries within the EU, but they all share the same currency. And so the European government is basically saying, oh, well, a euro in Germany is the same as a euro in Greece, as the same as a euro in Spain. But as we've seen during bad times, these much more socialist countries that squander money and waste it, they have capital flight out of those countries and into Germany, the stronger country, during bad times, because people fear that the Eurozone would break up and they would be exchanged for the local currency. So you'd get a German mark, or you'd get a drachma, Greece currency, and that would be worth much less. So when there's this euro breakup, you'd have these different currencies and they would dramatically move in opposite directions. So during bad times, money flows to Germany out of Greece, Portugal, Spain, and these other ones. And during good times, money flows out of Germany and into those countries. Why? Because you can get higher yield from these bonds, from these investments in riskier assets. Remember, if it's very risky, they have to pay more to compensate investors for that risk. And so right now, unemployment is rising in Germany, but it's collapsing in Greece, Spain, Portugal, France, it's down. Actually, Portugal, it's flat. Netherlands, flat. So you're seeing this capital flight now out of Germany into these countries, which means that the market believes the Eurozone is stable. Meanwhile, the United States has rising unemployment. So this is clear capital flight out of the US, and it's not like an overnight thing. This is a trending thing that the more the capital's flowing in, the more that the unemployment and such is flowing down. When you take into account that Japan also has collapsing unemployment, they actually have a labor shortage. There's all this pressure that they need workers. They're even getting in foreign workers. I'm going to quote here from the Japanese Times. The number of foreign workers in Japan reached a new high, underscoring the country's growing reliance on people from overseas to address its chronic labor shortage. So if you have a labor shortage, why would you be printing money to stimulate the economy? The whole point of printing the money to stimulate is to reduce unemployment. That's central bank mandate. So both the EU and Japan are unlikely to bring out the bazooka guns of the stimulus, while as the US is in a horrible situation where you have the capital flight of the assets, you have the rising unemployment that's probably gonna turn into a recession. The US dollar is in for at least some declines during Donald Trump's presidency, and maybe even much longer than that over this period where the empire is reducing its overseas presence and collapsing. Well, the first thing you could do is obviously get cryptocurrency, which I've advocated for many times. But Monero is actually more resistant to markets falling since it's not listed on exchanges. So BlackRock and all these hedge funds are piling into Bitcoin. And so Bitcoin is very much tied to the NASDAQ. And so as you see this capital flight out of the US, people are getting margin calls on all these hedge funds, all of these mutual funds, all these different investors. And so Bitcoin being on the exchanges makes it much more volatile. Monero, not listed, able to weather the storm a little better. However, I believe that gold, physical gold, is also a good choice. There are many overseas places, such as in Singapore, where you can store gold and you can actually even deposit in crypto. So another possibility is storing some money in euros using these stable coins. There are a number of them. I'm going to list in the description some of the ones and how you can access them fairly easily, like what wallets, what exchanges. And you could consider keeping some money in euros. Doing an actual bank account with them is a pain in the bunghole, but you can access these stable coins pretty easily. Another possibility is you actually open a Forex brokerage account. So there are a couple of them. There are some that do KYC. That's most of the regulated ones within the United States. There are some that don't do KYC that are overseas. They're more shady. I personally am not going to actually recommend them because of legal reasons. However, we're going to post this on Noster. And some random person on Noster will open this up to community feedback, might have an opinion on no KYC Forex brokers that accept cryptocurrency deposits. So with one of these Forex brokers, you could go long the euro, borrowing US dollars to own euros. Another possibility is shorting the dollar against the Japanese yen. I think that the yen trade is really strong. I would actually want to make a whole separate podcast on just how strong the Japanese yen trade is and show some charts on that to give you an idea. But you have all these different possibilities, from earning crypto through Agora markets, to having euro stablecoins, to having physical gold, to shorting the dollar against the Japanese yen. And thinking of this in a global sense, where what's in it for you as an individual and not getting caught up in patriotism, in collectivism, and going down with the sinking Titanic. It's your boy Shadow Rebel. Catch you on the flip side. So you might have not liked this podcast, but maybe we can agree it's better than Taylor Swift.